Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Okay, so I think all the parents out there were like, not Frozen again. At least that's how it is in my house. The two-year-old at our house watches that movie constantly, so I have nothing else to pull from. I don't watch any other movies unless it has something to do with an orange and white fish or Frozen or a red car. I'm done. That's all the movies that I watch. I just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about Frozen, if you can believe it. And it's because I'm a girl, isn't it? Yeah, probably. That's all right, though. Pastor's still at general counsel, obviously, so it's still the petty bones. I'm so sorry. Thanks. You're a lion. Okay. I did want to remind you, because I'm never up here, we do have all the notes on YouVersion every week. So if you'd like to follow along on your YouVersion app, look for that. I do it every week. You should look at it. Okay. Moving on. So I like this scene in Frozen, because did you see what Anna was having to do? She was psyching herself up, wasn't she? I got this. I can do this. You tell me when. I was born ready, you know? And we have to do that sometimes, don't we? It seems like people in the movies, anyway, they do that a lot. Like, they, are you ready for this? Oh, I was born ready. That's right. I can do this. Another favorite line of, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, in case you don't know that. I'm a total geek. Whew. And then some. Okay, and so, like, another favorite line of me is from Gimli, and he says, certainty of death, small chance of success, what are we waiting for? And that's kind of how, like, I don't know, that's kind of how adventures start, isn't it? What? We have a chance to die? I'm going for it. Minor characters, you're not going to make it. Too bad. We're headed in. And that's kind of, you know, that's like the start. It's like how we roll, right? And it's not just, you know, movie characters, historical figures. They're always pictured swords blazing, flying into battle, going back to Frozen. I love that movie. Anna tells Joan to hang in there during the snowman song. I'm sure that pun was intended, since it's a picture frame. Anyway, and Joan of Arc is who she's talking to here. See, did you know that? Anyway, okay. And she was just a young French girl when she first decided, yes, let's join up. Let's go take on the English. And somebody asked her, are you crazy? No, they probably didn't say that because it was in French and they were probably nice. But maybe, I don't know. And so what they asked was, are you sure? Like, how do you feel about going into battle against the English? And Joan of Arc said something that really struck me, and it's kind of where I wanted to go with today. She said, I am not afraid, for God is with me. I was born for this. She was born ready. She was born for this. Yes, she was going into the fray. Yes, she was probably not going to come back alive. She was burned at the stake, in case she didn't know. Sad story, sorry. Google it. And but she was born for it. She knew that God had prepared her just for this. Biblical characters too, don't we see that? Esther, when she went before the king so that she could plead the case of the Jews, she knew that this was certain death. If you went before the king without an invitation, done. But she went anyway. Daniel, he faced the lion's den. He went right into it, and he said, okay, here I go. I know that my God is with me. One of my favorites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fiery furnace they went. On and on. They heard the call of God. They knew it was going to be terrible, but they jumped into the fray with little regard for personal safety, whether it be physically, emotionally, or otherwise. They said, yeah, let's go. I was born for this. They were fully committed and ready to go. They all said what Joan of Arc said, I was born for this. And I love the story of the three Hebrew fellas, and as the great theologians VeggieTales put it, the real shiny guy in the fire. Because Rakshak and Benny illustrate how they were born for the furnace. And they jumped into it full speed ahead. And you might say, well, how do you know that, Ange? Because the Bible tells us. Isn't that nice of it? It's nice. I love it when it does that. Their names. Their names that they were given when they were born. Meshach's Hebrew name was Mishael, which means who is equal to God. Shadrach's Hebrew name was Hananiah, which means the Lord shows grace. And Abednego's name was Azariah, meaning the Lord helps. So I can just imagine them in my mind's eye, like those crazy people who hold up signs at the football games or they paint it on their chest, you know. They said, who is like our God? You're not. He shows grace. The Lord will help. Their names, the very beginnings of who they were, said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that my God made me for this. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We were born to not be afraid. We were born to know that God will deliver us. And the heroes of the faith, these great people, they embrace two paradoxes. I looked it up, and it's not like paradox I or paradoxes. It's paradoxes. Paradoxes. That's a hard word. I'm just going with it. But we would benefit from learning from that, especially in our posh, comfortable, don't step out of my comfort zone because it might be a discomfort to me and I might not feel good about it. We have that kind of a society, don't we? It's that kind of a thought that drives us sometimes, but God is calling us not to stay here. He's calling us to do the impossible. Maybe not in the way these people did. Jesus, please, no fiery furnaces. But he's calling us to step out into the fray, to step out into the unknown, to do something big and huge. We learned this week, a big, hairy, audacious goal for God. And he's calling each of us to do that. And it usually comes in the form, sorry about this, of trial or fire. It's just the way it is. But just like these heroes who are willing to step out regardless of the outcome, we have to be willing to step out and learn and do and become whatever it is that God is wanting for us. In order to be the man or woman that God has created us to be, we must embrace these paradoxes. And the first one is that bad is good. Sorry. I wish this was like a totally cheerful message. Roses, pink flowers. But it's not. How many of you heard about the guy in Casper just the other day that went to work and came back home? No? Whoa. How many of you heard about that surfer that got attacked by a shark a couple weeks ago and he like fought it off? Did you hear about that? How about that pilot several years ago now that landed the plane on the Hudson River and saved all those people? Did you hear about that one? Yeah, right? The truth of the matter is, these people were tested and proved in the fire. When the mundane things happen, nobody really notices. But when you're tested and you're proved and you make it out of that, then we say, whoa, there is a hero. There is somebody who's done something great. And I know that for some of you, just going to work and coming back home again is very heroic. So I just want to tip my hat to you this morning on that. Don't think that I don't think you're cool. I think you're very cool. So good job. But over the past few months, God has been dealing with me about what I think is bad and what I think is good. And somehow that has gotten confused in my head. I was earnestly praying one day, which is Christianese for complaining to Jesus. I know you don't do that, but I know, you're awesome. I'm not. Okay, so I was earnestly praying. And it was a few months ago, my grandpa had passed away. We were giving back our foster son to a situation that I didn't think was right. And so I'm kind of devastated. My heart is broken. I was just in a bad spot. Have you ever just been in a bad spot? Yeah. And I was like, Lord, what's up? How come, you know, this is happening? And he not so gently reminded me, which, I don't know, does God speak in a still small voice to you? Because sometimes for me it feels like a big whack on the head. I wish I could be that small still voice person. It feels like God's like, Thakung, listen to me. And he said in James 1, verses 2 through 4, he said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Joy, mature, complete. I was not feeling it. Sorry. I was like, Lord, are you kidding me? This is terrible. Why am I going through this? But he reminded me that it's in the testing of our faith. Our faith meaning our relationship with God, the place that we're going with God. It's in the testing that we reach full maturity. Now, I'm not saying that God wants horrific things to happen to you. Don't go home and think, wow, she's a Debbie Downer. That's not what I'm saying. But we live in a fallen world and bad things happen. It just does. That's the reality of it. And trials prove our sincerity to God. And the amazing thing is, and this is something that really kind of gets me, not only are they proof for us, but it's an indication of his trust in us. So here I am, and he's telling me, I'm trusting that your heart can be pulverized and that you can get back up again. Yay! So exciting. He's trusting that I could handle it. He was saying, I want you to be mature. I want you to be complete. I want you to know that you were born for this. Wow, God. Thanks. I heard recently a preacher say, the best reward is not having a life free of problems, but actually getting through them. Not a problem-free life, an overcoming life. If we want more of God, and here's the crux of this point, in case you were wondering where I was going. If we want more of God, if we want to be near him, if we want to have all those things like, Jesus, your presence, your presence, your presence. If we want that, then we need to go where he is. And unfortunately, that's the fire. That's where we saw the real shiny guy, was in the middle of the fire. And I love what Rakshak and Benny said in Daniel 3:17 through 18. They said, if we were thrown into the blazing furnace, the God of whom we serve will be able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. Man, don't you love that? Even if he doesn't, even if this is my end, I'm still gonna serve you. That's a mature and complete faith. That same preacher that I was listening to said, if there's an absence of adversity in your life, there might be an absence of progress as well. Yikes. If he can't trust you, why has he given you something to do? Sometimes it's the very worst that we face. It's the trial that we see as terribly bad that's actually good. Because that's where we can grow, we can learn, and we can understand Jesus that much better. Jesus didn't promise better. He promised presence. I just want to let that sink in for a minute. Jesus didn't promise awesome, lovey, feely, no problem lives, but he promised his presence. He promised that whatever you were going through, he was going to be there for you. That brings us to the second paradox, and that is that less is more. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, even though I've received such wonderful revelations of God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me from becoming proud and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He took pleasure in his weakness. When he was weak, it was strong. It seems to us absurd because we value strength. We value stamina. We value unshakableness. We value that person that you never see fall or stumble or cry or get weird. We value that as a society. But Christ is saying just the opposite through Paul here. He's saying, in your weakness is where I do my work. The Bible is full of countless stories of heroes that were weak and helpless, but they kept relying on God. Matthew 5, 3 in the Message version, I just like the way that it says this here. It says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. We're blessed with less. When we find ourselves empty and at our end, and we can't take it anymore, and my last nerve was taken up 2 days ago, and I'm done, that's where God is. And he does his best work. With Angela out of the way, God can get amazing things done. I'm not kidding. After my earnest praying, complaining to the Lord about my situation, the Lord helped me realize that grief isn't bad. Grief is part of the Father's heart. He knows too well what grief is. That when we try to avoid hard so that we can avoid loss and hurt, it's not worth it. Those times when we are about to give up, that's where God is. Grief is worth the risk because it means that the love was real. To never extend your heart and help someone just because it might get hurt, that's a terrible way to live life. The loss of your control means more of God's control, if you'll let him. And that was an awesome lesson that I had to learn. And I wouldn't have probably learned it if I hadn't walked through that. Do you know what I'm saying? I might not have ever seen that or felt it as real or been able to be in a place to hear it as well. A couple of weeks ago, I received a word from the Lord, and I know this is odd, but just go with me here. And I know it was for today. I know he said, wait and share it on this day. He said, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. In your deficiency, my glory is manifest. When there seems to be no way, my power is made known. Turn to me in your calamity. Seek me in your shortcoming. Then you will know and understand my full nature and your full potential. Turn to me, seek me, trust me with your impossible. Jesus, help us. What is your impossible today? What is that thing that you say, God, there is no way. There's no way I'm going to be healed. There's no way I'm going to pay those bills. There's no way that anything in this relationship is going to be changed. What's that thing that you're saying, God, there is no way? Are you finished trying to work it out on your own? Good. Because that's when God can do his best work. He has a plan and a purpose in less. He has a plan and a purpose in calamity if you'll let him do his thing. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And then again in Philippians 4:7, it says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." God will be there through all of your times of weakness and struggle if you allow it. He will work his best in your weakness. With less of your worry, there's more of his peace. Giving it to him is not just a sign of weakness, of giving up. Giving it to him is your best first idea. Do it first, okay? And let his peace flood you. Less is more. Bad is good. Let him work and you're impossible, because he's telling you this morning, don't worry. You were born for this. I knew this was coming. I got this. This morning, I would challenge you with this. What is God allowing in your life, or what is he trusting you with today? And I know that that's a hard mindset switch, because you're trusting me with this? I don't even want this. Why are you giving this to me? When Mordecai told Esther that she was to go before the king and plead for the Jews, he said to her something that kind of resonates with me a lot. He said, "If you don't do this, help will come from somewhere else." Those were God's chosen people. He was going to get them out of trouble. But he said, "What if you were born for such a time as this? What if you were put into this position for the exact same time? This time. This is what you were born to do." We have to trust that God's plan and purpose was started for us before the foundation. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that we're not here by accident? That somebody just didn't roll the dice and whoops, there you are? No. God knew you. God planned for this day. He knew you were going to be here right now. And so we have to trust that his plan and purpose are still at play in our lives, even in the midst of impossible. If we're living according to his word, let me caveat it with that. I often say that I'm grateful that God is not surprised by stuff that happens to me, because it threw me for a loop. But God knew. God knew all along. So do we trust that we were born for this? Do we trust that this bad thing that is happening can be made for good? Do we trust that this helpless state of less can become more than we ever imagined? Please, Lord, help us to embrace these paradoxes and to not be afraid to go into battle, because we were born for this. You were born for this.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.